Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to Live Without a Net. And I have Tom Bensi. He's the owner of Suburbanite Productions. Thanks for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jen. Appreciate it. Always great to be here on the podcast. And I'm really anxious to tell my story.
Yeah, I'm excited. I usually see you at the events, but now you can actually share your story instead of just kind of giving me a quick summary and share it with our audience. So let's talk about where you started. You said you used to be in the corporate world working for Great Adventure, and then you kind of got sick of it and video is your passion and you've always been an actor, and somehow it all came together with your own company.
Yeah. It's been a long haul for sure. So I graduated college back in 2003, and then I went to graduate school where I learned all about filmmaking at the New School in Manhattan. And through that time, I supported myself with various sales jobs. One, probably the best one was working at Six Flags in like 2010, 2011, and working in the corporate sales department. But I always had a passion for storytelling and filmmaking and acting, and I've been doing that since college. And I got to the point where I finally made my first feature film called At the Jersey Shore back in 2009 and 2010. And it came out in 2012, and it was at national film festivals. It got awards and it got big distribution. So back in 2012, it was on cable VOD. And since that time, it's been on Amazon Prime, and just recently, it's been on it's currently on Paramount Plus. So I just really love, like I said, filmmaking, storytelling, acting. And a couple of years after the film came out, in around 2014, 2015, I started bringing that skill set as a storyteller and filmmaker to local businesses and creating marketing content for doctors and dentists and lawyers and restaurants and bars and accountants. And since that time, I've really built and developed the company. And now I'm working with big organizations, pharmaceutical companies, distribution companies, big corporate jobs. And I just love it. I love both narrative storytelling, and I also love working with clients and creating marketing and branding content for them.
Very cool. And what was the Jersey Shore film about?
Sure. So it was called At the Jersey Shore. You can check it out currently on Amazon Prime or on Paramount Plus, which was really cool. I have people all these years later contacting me on Instagram saying, hey, I just saw your film. It really showcases Jersey in a great light. Like, you captured the real Jersey Shore. And we filmed and we came out during MTV's whole Jersey Shore phenomenon. So that really helped my film. But at the same time, we're showcasing, at least in my view, the real Jersey Shore, like what it means. Like, and I know you spend time at the South Jersey beaches. My film takes place in Seaside, and it's just a really special place. I mean, those 2 months are just, you just live for it. For all year, you're just like, the July and August, you're just like, you got to be at the Jersey Shore. And it's such a special time and a special place. And I think my film really captures that exquisitely. And I'm really proud of how it came out. And During the film, I play a journalist, so I'm an actor as well. And I go down to the shore and I write about these different characters. One is kind of like a dark character who's a womanizer. He's an abuser of drugs, and he goes to clubs all the time. And then the other character is this Italian kid, Danny, and he's looking to find the love of his life at the Jersey Shore. And he has a very old school outlook on relationships and on marriage and on just life in general. And my character goes down there and he writes about his boss's daughter during this whole experience. And he comes to realize that the Jersey Shore is a lot more than what he originally thought of, just clubs and chaos and insanity. There's actually a lot of heart, a lot of soul, and a lot of beauty there.
And you did this after the actual show on MTV came out. Was it to help the city, like, have a rebirth, or you just picked it because that's where you grew up?
No, it's where I grew up. And actually we started filming way back in 2009. So that was the first summer that MTV was filming there. And we had no idea like what was going on. Like, this is before the show came out. So we knew that MTV was in town. We knew that they were filming at the same clubs that I was going to film at and I was filming at, but we had no idea like that 6 months later, Christmas time, the show debuted on MTV and it just exploded. And then it just brought all this publicity and press to my show, to my movie, which was really cool.
That's really cool. So did you market that video around to help get new business at the time?
Not at the time. I didn't really start thinking about that until a few years after. I was just really focused on, I had the day job and I was just focused on the film was, it was such an all-encompassing experience. It took years to make. It was all like self-financed with myself and some friends and some family. And it was just, it was a huge, huge undertaking to make a feature film like that with the budget that we had and just the time restraints that we had. So it wasn't until a few years after that where I really was like, you know what, I want to create content for local businesses. I know how to tell stories. I'm a filmmaker. I can really do this effectively for them. And that's what I did.
So how important do you think content is in today's world, across social media, for businesses, for a brand? How important do you think it is?
It's hugely important. And just in the last 10 years that I've been doing this professionally, I mean, you've seen just such a growth in creating video content and what it means to an organization and how you can showcase your brand values and who you are and what makes you unique and what makes you special and your benefits to the consumer. And you could speak directly to the consumer, which is huge because customers today, they want to do business with organizations that they believe in. It's not only about providing a great product or service, it's about doing business with an organization that shares the same values as you, that you have the same beliefs as. And the way that you showcase those beliefs and values is through storytelling, it's through video content. So it's huge. I mean, any organization, large or small, should be creating video content continually to getting their message out there and talking directly to their audience.
So there are statistics out there that regular video just on your phone, if you're an influencer, I mean, or anyone, but there are stats and I tend to agree with them. But if you just shoot from your phone and post, tends to do better on social media than an edited video. Have you?
Yeah, I think it all depends on the context. You know, a big organization, it depends on what they're looking to do. So social media videos, and I'm not like a video snob where, oh, you have to shoot on this crazy camera. You need this huge budget all the time. Sometimes you do, and it's going to show. If you have a bigger budget in the camera, it's going to show depending on the situation. But social media content is important too, depending on if you're an influencer or how you want to go about it. It's a very much diversified field, and there's a place for both. There's a place for really polished marketing content, and there's also a place for just independent social media videos that you can do on your phone. So that's the landscape that we're living in, but it's really important to just getting your message out there.
So when you talk to a company, do you advise them to do a mix of both?
Yeah, sometimes a company will know exactly what they want to do and they have a really clear game plan. And other times they're unsure. So it depends on who their audience is. Like if it's a business to business organization, it's going to be different. You're probably going to focus more on like more polished video content as opposed to a business to consumer where it's going to be more social content. But I think even business to business, you want to have a social presence and you want to create content specifically for social because it is so huge. But it all depends on the organization, their target audience, their specific goals, and how you want to go about it.
Okay. And do you advise these videos to go on their website, on their social media? I guess that's really the only two places, unless I'm missing something. YouTube?
Yes. Yeah. So usually we'll create for a traditional package with a client, we'll create an overview video that's between 2 and 3 minutes in length. And it goes into the history of the organization, who the main players are, maybe client testimonials, B-roll footage, what makes them special, unique. We'll put that on YouTube and on their website. And clients can go to the website and they can get a quick overview of who this organization is. We'll also create upwards of 6, 7, 8 social media videos between 15 seconds, 30 seconds in length that just go into a little bit more specificity about a particular employee or a particular client or a particular service. And at the end of working with us, they have this package of videos that they can distribute to really have an all-encompassing video strategy that they can use to generate new business.
Okay, cool. And you're also an actor. So how long have you been doing that?
Yeah. So I started in college a long time ago. I started with an independent film and some theater there. And then when I graduated, I did some stuff in New York, but it was a totally different landscape in New York at that time in the like kind of the mid 2000s. And a lot of the projects I was involved in a lot, but unfortunately not any project really went anywhere. So that's when I learned filmmaking. I started my feature film. And it's really just recently, to be honest, because I guess it's just so focused on my business and writing that just recently I've gotten some success as an actor. I was featured on The Marvelous Miss Maisel, a co-star role, The Equalizer, a co-star role. So I have a manager that's sending me out on auditions, and it's really exciting to see, as we were talking off camera, since the tax incentives of 2018, Governor Murphy implemented those. So productions can get upwards of 35-36% money back if they film in the state. There's just been an explosion of work and filmmaking here in New Jersey. And there's so many more opportunities now than there were even 10 years ago. And for someone who's been doing this for quite a long time, it's super inspiring to see. So you really had to move to LA years ago, like when I graduated college, to be a part of the film industry or the TV industry, and now you don't. And it's because of really those tax incentives that we're having these productions, and it's because of that that I'm getting these opportunities as an actor.
Are there any interesting movies on the horizon that you know of, or have like an inside scoop on coming to New Jersey?
Well, I just read that Joker 2 with Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix will be filming in New Jersey, which is really exciting. The first one filmed in New Jersey too, I think in 2018. I was part of a really cool independent film that filmed in Monmouth County in June. It's called Miranda's Victim. I saw on social media that it premiered at the Santa Barbara Film Festival just last week. Got a great response there. And that was an amazing experience. So you had all these great actors, Ryan Phillippe, Luke Wilson, Andy Garcia, Emily Van Camp, Josh Bowman, Donald Sutherland, like these huge, huge actors filming in Monmouth County to tell the story of the Miranda's rights and how that came into play. And I was really just so lucky to be a part of that project. So that was really, really inspiring to see such a huge project film in New Jersey and to be a part of it.
Have you been to Sundance or any other famous film festival?
I haven't been to Sundance. I heard like kind of mixed things. I mean, I know it's where you have to go, but I heard it's just so crazy. I don't know. I know you said you went, but I heard it's just so crazy. It's almost hard to see films and to just get into screenings, and it's just so overwhelming. But I've been to some great film festivals. Garden State Film Festival is a great film festival that takes place in March. I have a documentary that will be screening this year in 2023 there about the Lawrence Hopewell Trail. I've been going to the Garden State Film Festival for many, many years. The Montclair Film Festival is another great New Jersey festival. They actually, a lot of Sundance films will screen at Montclair. There's so many film festivals these days. Sonoma Film Festival, which was where my first feature film at the Jersey Shore premiered back in 2011. That was an amazing film festival. So it's just
California?
Great. Yeah, in California, in wine country. That was an awesome experience and an awesome festival. So there's so many great film festivals this year. I have not been to Sundance. What was your experience like with Sundance?
So, I mean, I loved seeing the celebrities and going out, of course. As far as the movies, you're right. I think we got in some, but you have to book in advance. So we definitely saw many. I saw some really good films, but the ones I saw, I don't think ever made it to the big screen. I don't think that necessarily means anything. But when I went, it was before Netflix was really popular. It was probably, I'm just going to throw out 2015, maybe. So maybe some of those films now, since there are so many streaming services, would get picked up. But back then, I don't think so. You would know more to that. But I don't remember Netflix even being big back then, or any streaming. It was just Netflix to begin with anyway. And now there's so many to keep up with.
Exactly.
And Peacock.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are so many. But yeah, you would know more than me, but we definitely saw some great films. I loved it. You're right. Some were hard to get into, or you had to stay in the back. But I mean, I think it's awesome for anyone in your business, because there's so much press there, and so many people, and so many famous people. So I think if you just caught their attention, it would be worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I know I have to go at some point. It's just, I don't think I'm at that level yet. It's a very like elite festival, obviously. And, you know, it's so hard to get it. I mean, it's almost impossible to get into, but I would love to go at some point and just experience it.
Right. So when you see the Monmouth Film Festival, you have a screening. Does that mean you have a showing?
Yeah. The Garden State Film Festival takes place in Asbury Park every March. And I've had my first feature film was there. I've had other short films there. It's a great festival in Asbury. Asbury is such a cool place. And the Garden State Film Festival is something that I really just enjoy. They have amazing films from all over the world. They focus on Jersey filmmakers as well. And I made a documentary about the Lawrence Hopewell Trail, which is a nature trail in Mercer County, New Jersey, and how it came to be. 20 years ago, these executives from Bristol-Myers Squibb, an educational testing service, wanted to do some corporate outreach. They came together and they formed this nature trail. And so many people in the community love it. I love it as a biker, as a nature enthusiast. And I told the story about how it came to be, a nice little short documentary. And it's really cool. And we're screening in Asbury Park on, I think, Sunday, the 25th of March, if I'm correct, at 12:15 at the Asbury Hotel. And I will be there and I'll probably do a Q&A after. So it's always a great time. Asbury, like I said, is such a cool town, and Garden State Film Festival just rocks.
So if people want to buy tickets, they can just go online.
Yeah, just go on gsff.org and you can get tickets there.
Okay. What's the recipe to a great story?
That's a great question. You have to have just a compelling you know, I think there's different elements. I think, how can I answer this? It's, you know, you have conflict, you have tension, you have like a character going after something. But more than that, you have just, you're showcasing some element of humanity, I think. Like you're showcasing some element of the human condition and you're doing it in a way that's unique to your creative vision. And I think that's what makes a compelling story, is that you're showcasing the world through your lens. And hopefully that's going to resonate with an audience. But it has to be unique. It can't be just like just clicking off. Well, I have tension here. I have conflict here. I have a character that wants something. Like beyond, you need those elements. But beyond that, you need like a creative vision.
What about the sequence of storytelling? Like, would you start from the past? Would you start from the present, the future? How do you determine that?
What do you mean?
I've learned, say, in public speaking, it's good to kind of say, start in the past, tell your story, and then kind of bring it full circle. That's the best way I can explain it. So I'm sure there's a similar sequence, say for people doing TEDx talks, they all tend to have like some underdog story that they overcome. Mm-hmm. I was just curious, when it comes to filmmaking, is there a certain type of sequence?
Every story is different. So it has to serve the story properly. So some stories will start with the past. Some you can start with the future, but it has to be organic. I think it has to just feel natural to the storytelling process for the story that you're trying to tell. What I will say is that every story, like I teach communications and it relates to communications in a very real way, but you have to have ethos. You have to have character and credibility as a filmmaker, as a storyteller. You have to have an attachment to what you're telling about and what you're talking about. You have to have passion, pathos, emotional aspects in your story that's going to pull on the heartstrings. And you also have to have organization. So it has to kind of organize in a way that's going to compel an audience and it's going to resonate.
Okay. I know we're short on time, but I want to talk about your goals. We were talking off camera a little bit about what your future holds. Can you talk about some of the films you're working on and then also documentaries and your own marketing film business? Because it's basically marketing when you're doing it for these companies, you're helping them with brand awareness. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about like your future goals with all of that or even acting roles?
Yeah, sure. So I love acting and I hope to continue to get more auditions. I have a great management team and I'm going on some great auditions. And like I said, there's so many opportunities. So I love acting and I hope to have more acting roles in the future. For my business, Suburbanite Productions, I work with all types of clients. I love working with clients and telling their stories. And it's just a great way to showcase a business. And I do enjoy that. And then I have three projects that I'm working on independently that I'm trying to pitch to Netflix, trying to get made. A film about a woman who had a brain aneurysm when she was 14. She actually is from Southern New Jersey. And she was permanently disabled. So she went from being a healthy, happy 14-year-old girl to someone who was permanently disabled for the rest of her life. And she came to me a few years ago and she wanted me to tell her story. And I've been working on that very diligently for the past 5 years or so. And the script is at a point where I think it's really solid and we're trying to get named talent involved and get the film made. And then I have two series, one called The American Benefactor, which is kind of like a modern day Highway to Heaven about a spiritual journey that characters go through and working on bettering their lives and overcoming obstacles in a very spiritual kind of way. And then the other one's called The Cajon, and we're actually going to film an episode of The Cajon in May or June. It's a dark comedy with an Italian twist to it, like a Sopranos meets Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I wrote the script and I'm really proud of it. And we actually had the first read through last weekend, and we're looking to film in May and June and try to get that one to all these great film festivals and try to get exposure and make those connections that we were talking about at those festivals.
If you ever need PR, you know,
of course. Yeah.
So tell everyone where they can find you, how they can follow you.
Hopefully, sure, I'm at
social media followers from this.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, Tom Benty Media, TOMBENTEY Media is my Instagram handle and my Facebook. And you can check out my website, suburbaniteproductions.com, or my acting site, TomBenty.com. Or I do have a podcast of myself. It's called Tom Benty Media Podcast. And you can check that out. And I have some great interviews on there as well.
Wow, you must be a busy guy.
I am. I like it. I like being active and learning and doing what I love to do.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jen. Really appreciate it.
Taking the time.
Thank you. This was great. Really appreciate it.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks everyone for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram at Jennifer Sherlock or my business Instagram at JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanet.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.